part B of the week 8 audio begins on PDF page 45, where we once again meet the introduction to the Lalonde data, so I don't stumble over that, which we've seen before. And what we're going to do for the rest of this session is go through various of the matching approaches using the Lalonde data, and that's the most widely used data set for showing off these sorts of things. You'll see it just about every package. So is job training effective? And we've seen this is one taken from the Matchett manual. You'll see it in other places also. So that's PDF page 45, and we can see reading the data at 614 cases, 10 variables. That includes the treatment called TREAT, job training, and RE78, which is our outcome. So there's 8 other covariates. 429 people did not do job training, 185 did, and here are our variables. So that's PDF page 45. PDF page 46 is just a little more on that, the description, and then the match.data command is a good thing to see. That's what we've talked about, how to turn your object into useful data, subclass, and distance being the key items there on PDF page 46. So it's good to see those. That's the match.data command. We'll see a way of doing that not match also. It's a little less obvious, but I'll show you that towards the end. Another table just showing us the Lalonde data, PDF page 47, just to have everything in one place. Lalonde 86, DEBA, and WABA 99, and then lots and lots of others. Okay, so here is just the description once again. Install packages, opmatch. DIM Lalonde, this is PDF page 48, table TREAT, 429-185, beginning of the actual session. And then we come along and we take a look on PDF page 48, and then 49 has just a little bit more descriptives on the beginning of Lalonde for my session. If you looked at the medians, you're better off not doing job training than doing job training, but that could be a selection bias issue. The t-test is not significant, as we saw. Wilcoxon is not significant, just to show people what a Wilcoxon is, ranks. But maybe you find these mean difference or no mean difference. Of course, the first reaction of most social science or life sciences people is to do regression adjustments. We are never done till the ANCOVA is run. Put in the treatment variable and a whole bunch of other variables to control for self-selection, predicting outcome, using outcome to also try to balance things. That's the wrong thing to do. So the ANCOVA Lalonde, using everything you can as a covariate. So you got 8 of them, and you come along and you do it. So we had the t-test, RE78 outcome, tilde treat, and then you throw in a bunch of these other things. And lo and behold, treatment is significant, positive. Job training works. You even get a star. No wonder people love analysis of covariates. That is, outcome tilde treatment plus confounders. Fish example from early on, week 3, week 4, is one of the many examples we looked at. So this is running an earlier week, the regression adjustments, week 4, I guess, and treatment's significant. But in the lab 4 treatment from Legacy 209, you can see what covariates you put in totally determine this. If you just use the significant covariates, you get a very different answer than if you don't. Yeah, and use IV, you get a very different answer. So it's all, but ANCOVA does work. It's the only way to get a significant positive result for job training, so people love it. That's PDF page 49. And here, just PDF page 50 is continuation. Treatment is significantly helpful. And you even got a bunch of stars, RE75 is convenient. Okay, so that's ANCOVA. You can see why people love it. Okay, PDF page 50, we're actually going to begin the matching analysis, doing the old-fashioned Rosenbaum and Rubin way by hand, which they did for cardiac outcomes in the 1980s paper. You also saw the results of it in Rubin breast cancer example. So the first thing we do, PDF page 50, compute the propensity score, run the GLM. You can see it has, you want to take a look at the GLM. So the heck, propensity scores are the fitted GLM. We now have them, and we can take a look at overlap via five-number summaries, or better yet, side-by-side box plots, which we show you in just a moment on PDF page 52. You can see medians are quite different. Fits for the treatment group will be larger. We need good overlap, box plot, propensity treatment. And you can also do it by histograms, like you saw with Ben Hansen for the SAT coaching, where he had pretty good overlap. That is, most of the, there were more treatment in the high propensity scores and more control in the low, but there are lots of equivalences. So we first do histograms. And we can do them in a couple ways. We colored them in a fancy way. Okay, PDF page 51. Before we come to that, we just have that page again. So that's kind of superfluous. Just did it in simple form. Do the logistic regression. I want to go ahead. Page 52 are the side-by-side box plots. And you can see there's not much overlap. There's very few control people with propensity scores in the area of where the middle 50% of the treatment are. You really want these more overlap. There's very few treatment down where the control people are. There's not many similar comparisons to make. That's why you see such a small effective sample size for these data, even though you had 400 controls. You might only have about 35 really good pair matches. So PDF page 53 shows you how to make those histograms superimposed, and so that actually the overlap color becomes Stanford Cardinal red, and you get to see that histogram propensity score on page 54, and then overlapping where they overlap, you actually get cardinal red. We jiggered that, and here's a different one with Prissy Diaconis and David Friedman, a little calculation how to optimally break up a histogram. That's a capacity in R, and now we need to go back to PDF page 51 because I wanted to jump ahead and show you the histograms. Now we come along, and I think we've seen this page before, but I pulled it in here and now we want to use it. Once we've got the propensity scores, PDF page 51, we're going to do the quintile stratification. We're going to split the overall distribution, that is the 600 some propensity scores, into quintiles, and then count up how many treatment and how many control are in each of the quintiles. Using cut is the easy way to do it. I've walked you through this before. We didn't have good overlap, the box plot showed us. So you can see with the lowest quintile of propensity, which only goes up to 0.04, you have almost all treatment. Same for the second quintile, it's only in the top 60% of the propensity scores that you have some overlap. And so that's not so great, but you'll find out full matching is rather successful, which is rather amazing. And if we look at then outcome comparisons, the outcome variable, now that we've formed our equivalent groups within each bin, we have approximately similar propensity scores, so we're going to compare people of similar propensity. You can see now job training looks to have some advantage, but it's not anywhere near significant. And that's going to be the basic thing, unlike analysis covariance, which can find significance. And so you could do a t-test in each of the top bins, and that would be the subclassification type approach. Jumping ahead, because we've done these couple pages, looking at PDF page 57, is one version of a balance check from PSA Graphics. And you saw in the code, we did a box PSA. And this is going to be for, it gives you a lot of good information for a subclassification. And if you go back to also exactly where the command is, PDF page 53, box.psa, age, treatment, and bins, because we formed the five bins. That gives us a very nice plot and gives us all the counts again and shows us at least where the medians are and where the interquartiles are. Do you have good overlap? That's PDF page 57, the results of the box.psa from PSA Graphics. And you can see it's quite an informative, nice plot. Not horrible in balance, not wonderful balance. PDF 58, we did this out in more detail. And then box PSA, and then the bottom part of PDF page 58, jumping to the code, going back and forth between graphics and code. Examine outcome by strata. We took a quick look at this. Direction of mean differences, bottom part of PDF page 58. Favors treatment, job training, and of course that gives you a different direction. And a couple of ways of doing this, you could do t-test by each subclassification and then Bonferronium. The top three are the only ones. Each one you're not going to find a better way to do the t-test. And I should point out Noah Griefer has some additional on the Match It main page vignettes of using the weighting from Match It to do outcome analysis too. What we'll do it here is to do across subclassifications, use LMER to accumulate the t-test information across the five subclassifications, the five groups, and gives us an average treatment effect. And so we just run the LMER t-test within each of the bins. RE78 tilde treat, we've used LMER before in the course. For each bin, we're just fitting a t-test, and data are a little on, because we put the bins back in the, we put PBIN basically in the Lalonde bins variable in the upper part of the page. I should mention that. And we come along with the propensity subclassification. And we get a treatment effect. PDF page 59 is 385 with a standard error three times that. So you're not anywhere near overall estimated treatment effect. Positive, but far from significant. If you want to see the confidence interval, confident, you can either bootstrap it or do, that is PDF page 59. And that gives us a very wide confidence interval, what very much includes zero. Could job training could be deleterious or quite advantageous. We just don't have that much information. Basically because the overlap is poor doing the subclassification on the propensity score. PDF page 60 goes in a different direction. Let's try full matching. We looked at that via the nuclear plants data briefly as the option full. So we're going to do a use Match It to do Ben Hansen's full matching. We'll also show you using the core op match. We can do the same thing. And so now let's take a look at, we're going to use all 600 cases. Pair matching wouldn't, of course. We're going to do full matching, and we're going to get about 104 subclassifications, and then we're going to look at each of those as a treatment control comparison and see what we get. We're going to get remarkably good balance, shockingly. It still surprises me how well this does. So PDF page 59 mentioned full matching, mfull.out, and then we have PDF page 60, more careful version. Ben's full matching with all the variables, and we're going to use 429 controls and all 185 treatment. And if we go along and do a summary and don't standardize, we get it in raw score. We get to see we've done pretty good on balance improvement. PDF page 60, And if we come along, we'll come back and look at balance more carefully. Then do the outcome analysis. We have 104 subclasses, which we'll look at in a little more detail, of various sizing. But just jump ahead and do the outcome analysis. Just do an LMER over the subclasses, which if you look at the match data, you can see each of the subclasses. We have 104, and we get about the same answer we did from subclassification. Treatment, now about 500, still a giant standard error, a little smaller. We had 384 with standard error 950. Now we have 500 with standard error, almost 750. And you can see you get a slightly tighter confidence interval for the treatment variable. That's just jumping ahead before we look carefully at balance, etc., just to show you the bottom line, PDF page 61. Now coming back, we have full matching, PDF page 62. We've seen that. We do the summary of all balance, PDF page 62. And PDF page 63, we get more serious about it, using the standardized option. That's going to give us the standardized mean differences that we looked at on the love plots for aspirin. That is the effect size in, here it's in fractional units. So we want differences to be less than 0.1, which is the rule of thumb. And we're gonna see, look at how much reduced, if you look at standardized mean difference for the unmatched data, and then using the 104 subclasses, it's rather stunning how well it does. There's a couple, age and married, that are 0.15. That isn't that far away from 0.1, given how poorly these groups seem to overlap. You can see these were 0.8 and 0.4, 1.75, before they were reduced to almost no difference by the magic of full matching and using lots of subclassifications. So PDF page 63, and we'll see a plot for this in a moment, shows us there seems to be a remarkable improvement in balance from doing the full matching, even though this seemed like a really tough matching problem. So if we do a plot of summary, PDF page 64, you see the box plot summary standardized true. We're going to get a plot of that. And take a look at the next page, PDF page 65. We'll come back in a moment. You can see on the left is where before matching and giant standardized mean differences, and below matching, we're below 0.2 and 0.15 for a couple of these, is in near 0.01, below 0.10 for many of those. This is a remarkable improvement. We'll see the love plot version of this. This tells us everything that does. This is the base plot in matching. If we go back to page 64, so we did the plot, we saw it's pretty good. Then we can take a closer look at the subclasses. The 104 subclasses have various sizes. Some are rather large, 14, 8, and some are size 2, one treatment and one control. So you can see these are different. They're grouped by the propensity scores. Group 59 has 40 in it, whereas group 59 has 40 in it, whereas group 57, 56 only have 2. And you can take a look at those, just pull off any of the subclasses and take a look at them. And so the investigator can actually look at who's being matched. Who does the computer say are similar? Do I buy it if I'm a medical investigator and I really want to see things? Because why trust a computer? And that's a very good thing. That's what you get to see when you're actually doing matching. You not only get the overall balance statistics, you get to look for yourself. I call that science. Other people call that wasting. Well, not as efficient. Okay, PDF page 65 is our plot. PDF page 66, this is the cobalt version of the same plot. We'll see how to do that. It's all, if you look at the link for the session, match it, full matching balance with cobalt love plot and BALTAB. you'll see that. We'll see the code for that. But here's the equivalent of this plot called a love plot, just because it lines things up. And you can see on the right, you have the before matching, what's called unadjusted, orangish, I guess, on my screen. And then you have the bluish ones after matching. You can see how close to zero they are. And the dotted line is 0.10. So we've got a couple 0.15, a little bigger, but not that much. Age is the one that jumps out at you as a little bigger than 0.10. But remarkable improvements going from the oranges to the blue across each of the variables. So that's just another way of looking at it. It's a more common way of looking at it. And you saw the aspirin plots. They were named after Thomas Love because he did those in those presentations 20 years ago. Okay, so here is on page 67, we're doing cobalt for the Lalonde data. So we use dot match, we use match it. We have the dimension Lalonde. We bring in cobalt with library cobalt. This is PDF page 67. We have our data. Now, cobalt builds it up basically as a function. So you just define all your covariates by pulling off treatment and outcome. We're not going to use those as covariates. And then you do an F build. That's a function they have there that just is a model statement. It says treatment is predicted by the covariates. We're using method equals full. And if we do our match it, standardized equals true, we got our standardized mean differences. We're going to compare those in this little output to what we get from cobalt. And if we come down to PDF page 68, we played around with match it, and then we're going to compare it to cobalt doing the love plot. We saw that plot compared to that is setting threshold 0.1, just puts the dotted line where people usually have the rule of thumb. You could set it differently. So you're just doing a bal tab of the match it output. That's all, in this case, that cobalt requires. And the cobalt vignettes tell you, you can apply basically cobalt functions to most of the matching packages. No griefer does a very good job. So we took the object from match it, ran full matching using match it, and got doing a plot of the bal tab. Or if we just do the bal tab, you can see we get the standardized mean differences that we got in using summary from match it. So you can get it a couple different ways. Cobalt will give you the same thing match it did, and do the love plot. But it'll also operate on opmatch. We really need it. Match it does most of these things for you. But here's an illustration of applying cobalt to the output from match it. We'll see another version, cobalt applied to the output from opmatch, the basics. And so effective sample size also gives you, you can see because we have so little, little overlap, really, even though you think you have 400 controls, you really only have about the equivalent of 53 pair matches. That's a rough calculation. Opmatch does it also. And that shows you you really don't have that much data, and that's why the standard errors are rather wide. If you had better overlap, better matching, full match does a pretty good job, but you're really down to not that much data, that much treatment control comparisons on similar people. And that's a useful benchmark when you're looking at data. So that's PDF page 68. We did the cobalt applied to match it. Now we did the outcome analysis, and we saw that before. So PDF page 69 is a little bit redundant. I guess I was going to jump ahead and do that here. So that's PDF page 69, reminding us of doing the outcome analysis. And then page 70 gives us a condensed version of everything we did with Lalonde so far. I start out week one here. And so you can see we read in the data. I'll just remind us. Run the ANCOVA, and you can see you got significantly helpful. And then do the vintage approach, the matching analysis, quintile subclassification, as one way of going about it. We wouldn't do a bunch of different approaches. We'd figure out which one we wanted to do in real life. And we saw how to do that. going through getting our quintiles, getting our propensity scores, and then looking at outcome. And so we've seen all that, PDF page 71, PDF page 72. We did the LMER, and we got confidence intervals for it, and they were wide and near zero, and so we don't find any effect. Then we ran full matching, PDF page 72, page 3 of the handout, just reminding us, and that's what we've just been through. And we can see how much match it gives us. And then I also did the standardized version, showing you the subclasses. 104 subclasses have various sizes. We did the balance comparison. Standardized equals true gives us our standardized mean differences. And then we do the outcome comparison, PDF page 73. You get a little tighter confidence interval, as we saw from full matching. That's a good thing to see. So I'm just jumping. Here's a place where it's all in one spot and done it. And then here we go using OpMatch full matching. Instead of using the match it package, we'll go down to that. And that's the last thing we'll do. So, and that is linked as 2019 Lalonde OpMatch, full match with outcome analysis. So now we're not going to do any match it. We're going to use the basic OpMatch and create some facilities within there to recreate this analysis. So it's just, and using OpMatch, if you look at the details of the manual, we're not going through everything, you have a lot more control over things. For example, for the full matching, you can say, don't give me any subclasses greater than 12 people because I don't want any giant things, or any other kind of controls over tweaking things. And there's a lot of tweaks to these algorithms. But our main first pass is to show you the default capabilities and what to make of it. So going a little deeper, we're just going to bring in OpMatch, no match it. We're going with the pure stuff, Data Lalonde, and we're also going to use Cobalt to get us some of the descriptives from it. And so then if we come in OpMatch, we're going to create our coves. This is mid PDF page 74. So we're just redoing this in OpMatch. We're going to find our propensity score fit by doing GLM with treatment predicted by covariates, Data Lalonde. We're going to get the P score, propensity score, by getting the fitted values. Then we're going to look at the P scores over the two treatments. I didn't attach anything because I'm trying to be clean. And we saw there's a little overlap. Then we're going to come along and do the full match with the formula being the syntax full match. Let's give a formula, treatment tilde p-score, Data Lalonde. So that's our fit full match. This is using OpMatch. We're not using match it. And then we can use Cobalt's BALTAB to give us our standardized mean differences. So you can see you can recreate everything. And here's our standardized mean differences boxed up, about the same as we got before. We used all the software. And then to create the love plot, we just ask for plot the BALTAB balance table. And we get the plot we've seen before with the nice magenta colors. I guess it calls ggplot someplace in there. If you don't want pastels, I imagine you could tweak it. And just about the same balance table, slightly different. What OpMatch gave us was 102 subgroups versus 104 from MatchIt, because probably the defaults are a little bit different on calipers or doing it. And we can also take a look at the match sets, and we can see that the structure of the match set gives us both treatment control. Equivalent number of match pairs is 137. So we have 39 match sets that are one treatment, one control. One control, two treatments. One control, three treatments. Four controls, one treatment. You can see a number of them. You could do that same thing by doing a table on the match data from MatchIt. And you can use summary, and if you use stratum structure to get exactly the count of each one of these sets. It's just a different, slightly different set of subclasses than Matchett, because it's just different default parameters, even though Matchett calls out match. And then we can do outcome analysis, as I come to the end of this, just by doing the same thing we did with the Matchett data, 102 or 104 club classes, averaging or accumulating the t-tests over all of those subclasses to get an average treatment effect. And we do that. So we need to put the subclasses in the data set. Match.data does this for us. You got to work a little harder on match because you're in the industrial version. If you bring in the matches, some people write lots of code. It's kind of easy. Here, matches equals FM2. And so that's the match data set. And you can look at then each of the subclasses and see how many matches you have. 102 subclasses. So we're back to what the convenient way we have with subclass now matches forms that variable. We have structure for our data set. We can use the factor matches just like we use subclass from Matchett. So it's recreating exactly what we did. We just have to work a little harder because the wrapper doesn't do it all for us. And we run the upmatch LMER. It's going to complain a little bit. We could put a control character in for convergence. It's not going to make any difference, so I didn't do it here. PDF page 75, the bottom, carrying over to PDF page 76. And there is the same kind of result we got. But we can see we could do it, not match. Everything we did in Matchett, just have to do a little more work. But if you look at the details of the OpMatch manual, you'll see you have a lot more tweaks, some of which may be attractive to you in a particular application. So for consumer use, Matchett does a great job. But if you need to get further in and control more things, just run the naked OpMatch, and you can use Cobalt to give you all the things that Matchett does for you automatically and get your subclasses from the matches command. So there is a way to do it. It's just a couple more coding lines. So that completes our Lalonde adventure. We saw how to do the traditional Ruben Rosenbaum version and then more modern full match, which is a Rosenbaum creation implemented by Ben Hansen. We used it not match or in the more user-friendly Matchett, and we saw we get similar results. And so you have code bases for doing all those things. You can write your own scripts. People like scripts more than me, because for instruction, I want to do things line by line and talk about them. But you can see how you could construct a script and pop out everything, the plots and the results that you wanted, just with a few lines of code. And so you make your own .R files if you're that sort. So we've gone through the basic matching methods using some fairly powerful methods. We can do traditional pair matching or 1-to-2 matching using optimal matching or within OpMatch pure pair match. And then we can do the full matching using either method full or full match in OpMatch and use Cobalt to give us additional nice descriptives. We can check balance. We can see whether we've done pretty well or not. Maybe we want to improve the propensity score estimation if we saw something badly out of balance. Or it gives us clues to whether we have confounders and worry about that, additional confounders, and worry about that in sensitivity analysis, which we'll learn how to do in the spring quarter. That ends it. And just the final page is just some of additional things from Paul Rosenbaum's software page. In the spring quarter, we'll do the sensitivity analyses, both MV and MW, depending on how we're doing the matching, and Ben Hansen's OpMatch. Sam Pimental, who is a student in this course, an MCS student who now is faculty at Berkeley, has RC Balance. Dylan Small has a number of things. He was a student in an original version of Stat 209, Stanford Stat PhD, one of the leaders at Wharton. And so there's a number of matching packages that you'll see in CRAN or see from Paul Holland's page. And that brings an end at about 85 minutes, which is a good to be a little bit under, for just illustrating the basic matching packages on the canonical examples, Lalonde. There's better examples, that is examples with a little better overlap, but you can see we could overcome that. Even full matching does a pretty darn good job, even though traditional Rosenbaum-Rubin, it still gives us the same result. But there's not much there That's one of the things that frustrated people with the lawn. So that's our implementation of matching methods. I think we've given you the basics and some code examples and some showing you what to do. There's always more. Weeks 9 and 10 is going to be time 1, time 2 data. We'll revisit a number of these issues, number of issues from the first 8 weeks with the added applications to improvement and how people either use effectively or mess up time 1, time 2 data, doing as if by experiment conclusions. We'll look at both experimental data from experimental designs and observational studies in weeks 9 and 10. I'll probably put them up all together because it's kind of one continuous story, breaking them up by time into the 2 weeks. So that's our final bit. Again, you have the most of the problem set. The rest will go up this week. And so you have a minimum of a week for a little bit of problem set and 2.5 weeks for most of it. So that's where we are. Thank you. End of week 8. We're almost done of Stat 209B. Spring quarter registration started this morning. Good Lord.